I'll be reading 1 Peter chapter 5, 6 and 7. So don't be proud. Put yourselves under God's mighty hand. Then he will honor you at the right time. Turn all your worries over to him. He cares about you.
Amen. Preach the word, brother.
Thank you, brother. Good morning.
Good morning.
If you have your Bibles, we'll be turning to 1 Peter chapter 5. Be our text for today, verses 1 through 4. And to those of you that are taking notes, shepherding the flock of God. Let's see. Oh yeah. This year, we're going to be building this new church building. And I've been thinking about all the many things that's going on in relationship to that. It takes a lot of coordination and planning and all of that sort of thing. So this year we're going to be out here and we're going to be having a parking lot tore up, all in the name of progress and hopefully a facility big enough to handle growth, and we're planning for that. And I just think that that's a pretty exciting thing that's coming our way. Well, in relationship to the idea of building, got to thinking about the idea that I used to work for a construction company as a construction superintendent, and that's the place where I was working when Colton was born, Brewer Construction Company. They're members of the Lord's Church too, so I thought I'd just tell you that. But anyway, as I worked there, that's not me actually, in case you agree with that. Built a couple of projects, just quickly, this is Parker Manufacturing in Sand Springs, Oklahoma. They build those little plastic honey bottles that you get honey in that look like a bear, you know, kind of interesting. A little church building in Inola, Oklahoma, where I'm from, I built that church building too. Just a couple of things, I'd just like to put those up there. It gets your mind thinking about building, not bragging on anything I've done. But the first really important thing in a building process is to understand where it is you're going. To sit down with the blueprints and the job specs and read them closely and understand what your destination is in the future. Folks, if you haven't looked at the plans on the back wall, you probably haven't had a chance yet to look at the pages and pages and pages of blueprints for this new project we're going to look at. Folks have carefully sat down with that. They have determined where we're going, how to get there, and they formulated a big plan for that, and that is the first step in really in any building process. Well, then I had to figure out, in my construction history, I had to figure out the building steps. But you can't build the roof before you pour the foundation. You kind of get where I'm coming from with that? Well, then you got to really think about the schedule. Now, I know y'all can't see what all this business is over here, but if you could see it, this is a construction schedule. And the first thing up here, these are dates up here at the top. And as you come down this margin on the side, you have things from pre-concrete pour, when you treat the soil for termites as required. And then these things are just timelined out. So a schedule is set, is my point. Well, then you got to allow for problems along the way. And Burns is sitting there thinking, I'm going to have to go fix this truck. He works on equipment for a construction company. Well, problems come along and they have to be solved and they have to be addressed. And I don't know what area that I talked about with the... Oh, yeah. Then, I didn't put enough notes. See, I put little red tick marks by each time I put a slide up there, and I apparently missed the stuff. Then you've got inspections. Times when the architect, the building engineer, the superintendent, the owner, they all get together and they look at something and they say, well, you know, is the quality of work there? Is that what the intended purpose was, you know? So you've got inspections in the construction process also. There, I made it past that. That's my introduction. Now let me say this. Church, we have a much bigger building project going on than a physical building that we're fixing to build. This morning, we're going to talk about spiritual construction, okay? We're going to talk about being built together into the house of God. And this morning, specifically, the lesson is directed from 1 Peter to the shepherds. So let me see where the shepherds are setting so I'm going to be looking at them. I found three. Engel, stop hiding. He was hiding behind Glenn. See me after church. Just as a building project requires the oversight of an architect, of a building engineer, the oversight of a construction superintendent, so the spiritual building of the church requires oversight, scripturally, by God's word. And those overseers are our elders. So, before we begin in the text, I want to point out one thing to you. Peter has been, in general, talking to Christians that have been scattered, living as aliens. But the audience here in chapter 5, verse 1 through 4, changes. It gets very specific. Peter's no longer talking to everyone in general. Peter tightens in, he hones in, and he says, "Elders, listen up. I want you to pay attention because I want to talk to you today." So I thought to myself, hey, I'm just going to get the elders off in a room by themselves, and we're going to go over these passages and let them gain what God had intended for them, and then we would just pick up in the next spot in the General Assembly. And then I thought, well, how silly is that? Is it not our concern as the flock of God to understand what is appointed unto the shepherds to do concerning us? So this morning, the lesson is for the shepherds, but I hope that we listen in and gain great insight, hopefully, from what God wants us to know concerning them. So there's two things happening this morning, and I'm not good at doing two things at once. But there's us sheep, and then there are the shepherds. So the primary message being to the shepherds. So as we begin in verse 1 of chapter 5, Peter says, "Therefore," and he's been saying "therefore" quite often, but when he changes the audience, you have to ask, what's he talking about "therefore" in light of? The preceding thing or the whole thing? And as I got to thinking about what the elders' responsibilities are in regard to the flock, I couldn't help but to think that the "therefore" is talking about everything he's been saying in 1 Peter. So to recap that in brief, chapter 1 of 1 Peter, he says that we as a body are born again, and we are born of imperishable seeds, and we have a responsibility to act that way. And then when you get into chapter 2, he talks about the fact that we are living stones. And as opposed to dead stones, we are living stones being built into the house of God. And that we are a chosen race. We are a royal priesthood, yet a holy nation, for God's own possession, he says. And our examples are very important in government. Our examples are important in the workplace. And our examples are important in the home. And that we as Christians are to arm ourselves with the very same purpose that Christ had. And we are supposed to live with the end in mind, rejoicing even in the face of suffering. And I put all that together in my mind and I thought, you know what? Being a Christian is kind of complex. There's certainly a lot of struggles and difficulties that go with being a Christian, as all of you well know. And to this end, I think, in my opinion, Peter says, therefore, I'm going to talk to the elders for a minute. And in the rest of verse 1, he says this. He says, "I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witnesses of the suffering of Christ and as a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed." Here we have is an apostle, but he is also an elder. And he says, hey, you elders, I want to encourage you. I want to exhort you as a fellow elder. Now, shepherds, I want you to think about that for a minute. I want you to understand and reflect on the idea that elders need to encourage other elders. Because you know, one thing is certain, all of us as sheep, we don't understand what it's like to be a shepherd. We don't know all the things that go on behind the scenes. We see what you say from the pulpit once in a while, the announcements you make to us, but we don't understand all the intricacies of being a shepherd. So I want to encourage you to encourage each other, just as Peter was encouraging these folks and you also today. You guys need to take time for each other. This past year, I don't know if the church knows it, but behind the scenes, well, I kind of got it started, but everybody followed suit. We started sitting down, the shepherds started sitting down and having meals together. Men, elders, that is so important. That you can have some one-on-one time with other shepherds. And as the Proverbs say in Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Shepherds need this. What I'm saying is shepherds need to be ministered to. Many times, shepherds are so busy taking care of the flock that they don't take care of themselves. And all I can see the look in all of these shepherds' face right now, they understand what I'm saying. You know, a mechanic fixes everybody else's car and a mechanic's car runs terrible because he's out there giving himself out to everybody else and not taking time to take care of himself. Shepherds, you need to take time to plan for your own spiritual growth. It's a must. You need to attend workshops. You need to read material related to being an elder. You need to talk to other elders in this area from other churches. Get to know them so that you can sharpen each other. Elders need to be in other elders' lives. Chapter 2, the beginning of chapter 2 says to the elders also, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight. Just as a construction project needs oversight for that building process, the building up of the body needs some oversight, and God has appointed you as shepherds to be in charge of that oversight with that responsibility. So we take pause for three or four pages in my notes here to talk about oversight in general. This is just stuff Dan came up with that's still godly, but if I've missed a point, tell me after church. I'd like to get to my notes, okay? We're talking about oversight. Number one, he says, shepherding means to take care of or tend. And with so many Christian struggles in mind, he turns to the elders and he says, you know what, elders? These guys need help. So in regard to oversight, number one, elders have to clearly understand the goal, much like a construction project. They have to see the goal and understand the direction, where it is we're going. And the best that I can figure from Scripture, the goal of a shepherd is to take care of the flock of God and help them to reach spiritual maturity and help the flock to become pleasing to God. Shepherds, please keep your eye on this fact that you've got to help us grow. Keep the goal, the direction, and focus because you're leading us. Second thing is, you have to be committed. Boy, I tell you what, church, I'm just going to pause here for a minute. I'm about to swallow an apple in my throat thinking about this. The church across our nation is suffering. Our church across our brotherhood is in peril in many ways because we do not have men that are committed to their purpose. So that's the point here. Elders need to be men of commitment. willing to stay the course, even in the face of adversity. Men who are willing to hold up the truth of God, even in the face of conflict. Men who are willing to dedicate their life to the cause. Men of commitment. Elders don't let anything get in the way of helping us grow as a flock. Number three, talking about oversight, elders should stay focused. Boy, I just love Colossians chapter 3. Verse 2 says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. And shepherds, God wants you to keep your focus. Keep God in view on all things. Don't let life get so busy that you lose sight of your purpose. Don't let stubborn Christians, of which I'm one, so I'm not talking about all of us, don't let stubborn Christians weigh you down. Don't let things that you cannot control burden you. Don't let your own desires squelch your effectiveness, but rather give your full attention and full focus to God, because Satan wants you to get bogged down. Elders, Satan wants you to lose your focus. Satan wants you to forget the goal. Maybe, church, we should be prayerful for the elders. Did you catch that sarcasm? We're going to strike out the maybe, right? And we're going to realize what dire need there is for us to be prayerful for these men that oversee our spiritual souls. Boy, isn't that it? Boy, when you put it that way, doesn't that really make you stop and think? It does me. Oversight also necessitates planning and organization. God is not the author of confusion, and the just let it happen scenario doesn't work in Christianity, folks. If the church is to have a deeper relationship with God, if the church is to be built up, it's going to take some organizing, some planning, and some thinking ahead of time. God apparently thought that structure was a good thing because he used structure to set forth the pattern for the New Testament church, right? Things to remember in regard to that. Any planning and organization requires a lot of discussion. Never, ever done lightly. Research is a part of that. You know, we want to think that that we got to get out there and we got to really plow some dirt, but that's exactly what God says. You got to get out there and really take in all the facts. You guys have got to see the goal in mind, and you've got to go out here and you've got to research and find out all the facts concerning where we're headed. You have to explore possibilities. You have to listen to the sheep. You have to utilize your resources. You have to size up progress. And when progress is lacking, you got to stand up and you got to address it to us. We have to have that for growth. You know, every year the President of the United States stands up before Congress and he gives the State of the Union address. Maybe, church, maybe the elders should stand up once in a while and give us a State of the Church address. Who better qualified than the overseers of the building process of God? Prayer is a part of that. You know, these guys are prayer warriors, and I'll tell you that right up front. Prayer allows for God to give His direction. Prayer allows for faith in seeing the unseen and living in the heavenly realm. Well, oversight also includes working with people on a one-on-one basis. Oversight takes into account that not every person is on the same level as the other person. Oversight, you see, church, is a general thing, and it is a specific thing at the same time. The shepherds shepherd us generally as a flock, and they also shepherd us individually as people. I have idiosyncrasies that you don't have, and you guys have some that I don't have. Shepherds, each one of you, you have to know the flock. You have to know where we're stubborn and not headed and where the next person isn't. I can say that because I am stubborn. I am not headed. You know what I'm saying? You have to listen to us and you have to understand that each one of us are different. What you say as a shepherd does not fall lightly. We as a flock of God's people listen carefully when you speak. You know, that kind of puts the pressure on because in a way you live in a glass house. Everybody's listening to everything you say. They're listening to how you say it and to what end that you speak. And your words carry much weight. I ask you as shepherds to remember to always be placing challenges before us. Help us grow. Stretch us even if we don't want to be stretched. And place opportunities before us to help us to grow. What I'm saying is help keep us on the right path. 9 times out of 10, the flock has its head down, grazing, oblivious to their own needs. You know this, guys, and I ask you, God asks you, to be attentive and be watching, and be ready there to oversee us, even if we are not desirous of oversight. Okay, church, I'm not talking to elders anymore. Well, talk to us. We sometimes are not always desirous to have somebody oversee us. I want to do everything myself and I don't want anybody telling me what to do. Now you wouldn't think that that type of attitude would exist in Christians, but it does. And maybe even in our own past we can look and say, you know, there's times when I felt that way. God calls us to humbly receive that oversight. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more before I get too wound up on that. Then, overseers must prioritize their time. Now, this is a sticky point, and I want you to bear with me. If I don't say it right, you formulate some wording and help me after church, okay? Time is limited, number one. We don't have an unending supply of time. And there is absolutely 100%, there is no way that these four shepherds can meet every need of this church. The work is too great. They cannot be there for every single thing. They try really hard, and you know them. Shepherds, you have to pick and choose wisely and listen to God in your heart. Prioritizing your efforts for the overall betterment of the kingdom. Let me give you a little example of that. Let's say that we have a Christian. I'll start to give him a name. We have a Christian that is in one of the stubborn, knot-headed phases where they won't listen and they're kind of being rebellious. You know what I'm talking about? If you spend a whole lot of time with that person when they're not ready to respond, you've used a lot of time that you could have used with someone else that's ready to listen. You see what I'm saying, church and elders? I want you to be prayerful about how to use your time. Unfortunately, boy, I wish we just had to. I wish time was limitless. But it's not. We need to be asking God where to use our time and how to use it most effectively. Overseers have to divide up the workload. My work can be closely related to the shepherd, so I'm sitting here taking a breath of air for myself too. Sometimes I get the idea that I got to do it all. And I know if I do that these guys, I know that they think that sometimes too. Elders can't do it all. That's maybe why God said, hey, there need to be more than one shepherd, right? We can divide this work up. Which means that as a shepherd, you have to be willing sometimes to throw your hand up and say, you know what, I need a little bit of a break. Can't do this all on my own. Help me out. You guys all provide an integral part of an eldership at large, each person providing an important step in that. Divide that workload up. The weight of all the responsibilities among us is too great for any one man to handle. Overseers must be able to delegate physical work. You know, during the week, all of you are at work and we're short on manpower. And a lot of times the shepherds will come and do some physical work that's not being done. Perhaps we as a body have neglected it. Perhaps a deacon in his area has got busy in his life and hasn't had time to get something done. So the shepherds will come along and they will end up doing physical work because it just needs to be done. You know what I'm saying? You know what? God did not appoint the shepherds to be men who would do the physical work and wait on the tables. But you know, they all have the ability to. Shepherds, I want to encourage you, and I'm encouraging myself too, because you know what? Sometimes I like waiting on the table. And I don't mind painting a wall. You know, and I don't mind taking the trash out. But you know what? God has not called you to that end. And I don't want you guys to get tempted to get hung up in physical work when our spiritual souls need tending to. So I encourage myself, and y'all is kind of worried about some similar work in that way. Overseers must be skillful communicators. Last Sunday night, we talked about listening carefully. We had a discussion about that. Elders, I want you to think about the idea that listening, all of our shepherds are such good listeners. They really are. And they do what I'm going to mention here really well. But I just want to remind you of the fact that sometimes people need a little prodding. That's just the fact. You can say, well, that sounds ugly. That's just fact. Sometimes a person is sitting there and they're hurting in their heart and they're just waiting for somebody to say, is everything okay with you? Because you look like you're struggling. Sometimes, shepherds, our listening includes some questions to provoke people to a response. You would think that us as a church would be quick to want to respond and just cough it up and confess our struggles to you, but you know what? I'm amazed at this. We're not that way. I bet if we asked these shepherds when the last time someone just come and sat with them and said, hey, you know, I want to be more spiritual. How can I do that? How do you see my life going? I bet it wouldn't be any time in the distant future, would it? You have people, Ward, standing at your doors asking you how to grow spiritually, enlisting your help, or is that kind of far and few and far between? Well, all that to the end that sometimes we don't utilize what's set before us in our shepherds. And God calls us to that end. So elders need to listen carefully and at the same time ask what spiritual level we are at when you're talking to us so that you can better understand how to help us to grow. You also have to ask, does the person that you're listening to and helping, do they have some unique perks? Now, I'm going to go back and scratch out unique perks in just a moment, but we'll call them unique perks for now. Do the people get mad easily? Do they get their feelings hurt easily? Do they misunderstand easily? Now, what other word can we use for unique perks? If we're talking about me, I just use the term knot-headed, okay? Well, sometimes we can be that way as sheep. your response is so important. Your response can set the platform for growth, or your response can set the platform for discouragement. And as Ward, I discussed some of these things with Ward this week, and Ward made this statement. He said, you know what? An elder better think before he speaks. Hear, hear, brother. And for the rest of us that even aren't elders, we can sure pay attention to that. Mm-hmm. We got to let God lead our minds in a response before we open our mouths. And you know, that goes to me as well, but certainly to a shepherd. Then overseers must manage problems, not turning a blind eye to problems hoping they will go away. Not so focused on keeping the peace that the truth is neglected. Now I'm going to repeat that again, because that can be a tendency. We all like to get along so well that we don't want to rock the boat. Not so focused on keeping the peace that truth is neglected. Willing to address spiritual problems even in the face of obstinacy. Elders must always be honing their problem-solving abilities, remembering to take us all into account individually. And finally, overseers must be patient. Oh, the work of an elder can be quite frustrating. I spend a lot of time with these guys, and I see some of the things they go through. Elders must be patient to the nth degree, remembering, as Glenn mentioned in one of his lessons, that patience is the Father's workshop. These are a few things in regard to the management or oversight that you men should be reminded of. Let's pick up and finish our text as we're running out of time. Then, verse 2, toward the end, it says, shepherding is not to be under compulsion, but voluntarily according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, not yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. First thing he said, I could preach for a month on that, really. But the first thing he says is not under compulsion. Elders, this work is not because you feel like you have to, or that you feel that there's nobody else to step up and take the reins, but your motivation of heart should be that of a voluntary nature, because you want to. And you know what? Sometimes, church, being a shepherd can weigh your heart down significantly. But shepherds, I want to remind you that this needs to be willing. And it needs to be according to God's will. Shepherds should never, ever, 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 underline ever, seek to fulfill their own desires. But they should remember that the flock, verse 2 at the beginning, the flock, tend the flock what? Tend the elder's flock? No. Verse 2 says, tend the flock of God. Elders, this flock is not yours. This flock belongs to God, in which you are employed in that service and to that end. This flock is God's. This church is not Dan's church. This church is not Ward's or Glenn's or Dave or Richard's. This is God's church, you see. And when you keep that in mind, you work toward God's end. And that's what God would have you to do as you search for His will, and not for personal gain. You know, I don't know as though our elders have ever struggled with this, but I think about some other elderships, and I understand that sometimes an elder or two might think, well, what can I get out of this? The pride of position, or power, or anything like that. Shepherds, please remember that there is really no pride of position in being a servant. It's all toward the Master's glory. Shepherding is to be done with eagerness and not lording it over them, the text says. not being a controller, but being an example setter. Let me talk about this. Sometimes in my mind, I look around and I size things up, I see what needs to be done, and I just push to get it done. And in that, sometimes I can be controlling, you see. Well, if I can fall into that, certainly anyone else could, the shepherd. In allowing a building process, you've got to allow for mistakes to be made, and you cannot be controllers. God did not set you before us to control us like the proverbial cowboy with a whip. God put you here as shepherds to gently lead by example, not to be controllers. And I don't necessarily think you have troubles with this, but I'm just spelling out what I see the text say, and I'm talking to myself too. Because sometimes, you know, in my spiritual work of evangelism, I get too concerned about whether the trash has got taken out downstairs, and I start doing all this stuff. I'm controlling. You know what? Sometimes I'll just let the trash not get taken out and stop worrying about controlling things and let God work it to His degree. You see what I'm saying? Isn't that right for the shepherds too? Don't take control. Let God control His people. Verse 4, to wrap up our text, says, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." Elders, don't forget that you have shepherds also in each other, and that the chief shepherd will come, and when he returns, he will see how well you have tended the flock, and you then will receive your reward. I'm going to close in this way. We have small groups today. And I would like for us to consider focusing the attention of each one of our groups on this little bit here of conclusion. In view of all the elders are called to do for the church, what is our responsibility as the church to them? Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. I'd like for you to turn there and read that with me. Hebrews 13 and verse 17. It says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them. For they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you." Church, I think we need to get a better handle on what this means, this verse. Not just what it means, but I think we need to embrace the idea of utilizing the shepherds that we have for spiritual growth. We are building a huge building, and it has nothing to do with iron and steel and metal and wood. It has to do with a spiritual body, a house of God in the heavenly realm. You, my friend, are a two-before in the spiritual kingdom. You are a cinder block. You are a piece of rebar. You have some measure of construction component in God's kingdom. And these shepherds are overseers in that project, established and set forth by the Holy Spirit for the building up of the house of God. I'm excited, and it ain't about a new church building, although it'll be so nice to get an office out of the basement. I'm sorry, that was my weakness. Okay, now back to the point. But how much more special to have an office in the kingdom of God? How much more excited should we be about building our spiritual lives? Church, I don't want you to sit on the fence this year. I want you to get plugged in. I want you to get engaged in actively pursuing your Christianity before God. As we sing this song of invitation, the shepherds are going to be up here, ready to actively engage in their responsibility to God, and you as a church have an opportunity. opportunity to come up and get one of them to pray for you. Maybe you don't even want a response publicly. They're going to be up here. They're up here to pray with you, to cry with you. They're there for you. Church, I'd invite you to grow this year as we stand and say,